This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
It's been one hell of a past week, hasn't it, Katie?
Yeah, to say the fucking least, I say from my bed.
Yeah, before we get into what has happened, we do want to just apologize if the sound quality is not up to the par that we have had it at recently. Now we'll explain why.
I fucked up my foot.
This bitch broke her toe. And when I say broke, I mean, I thought you were going to send me a picture of like a fracture, but your little phalange just said, I don't want to be a part of this body.
Oh, just like a full-on civil war amongst my toes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a really big problem. I'm, in theory, in a lot of pain, but my schmeds, are doing their job. So as I said to Ashley before we started recording, we are in a race against the clock against my meds right now. So you guys are getting a fascinating side of Katie today.
This is going to be fun because of the kind of topic that we have today.
Oh, yeah. It's also been fun. I'm, like, just now really putting together that I've just been, like, tweeting at rant people.
Yeah, if you follow us, or if you now follow us and listen to this because of Katie being on our Twitter, I don't know if y'all are on the podcast side of Twitter, but lots of people are always asking for recommendations or to answer questions about podcasting things if you're a podcaster, and Katie spent all day replying to those kinds of posts. But you got a lot of good engagement there, and I was like, you know what, we should be doing that.
Oh, it's been fun. It's been really fun. I don't know, like, what compelled my little mind to do that.
But, it's the drugs.
Absolutely.
But also, you are much better at Twitter than I am. I just like to retweet things. I don't know. I'm not coming up with witty shit in the moment to share with people. But you, my friend, you do.
I love quite Twitter. Often. It's such a solid format for me, honestly.
I believe, out of all of the social media platforms, it is the one for you. That shit was made for you.
Those teas. TikToks and Twitters, man.
The ticks
that's
and the twits.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Incredible. Incredible.
And I say I'm not witty on the spot.
Yeah, dude, you're hella twitty. It's fine.
I'm hella twitty. I'm hella ticky. Hella talky.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty good at the ticks. The talks. Black. My talks aren't there so much.
Oh my god.
A lot of ticks, though.
Anyways, so this is definitely going to be the vibe of the episode today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't really have much of an update, honestly.
My cat is...
He's joining the party. Oh, all I can, he's here. All I can see is his ass.
Yep, that sounds about right. It's Beetlejuice.
I can tell
by
the
Beetlejuice.
Hi, kitty kitty. He can't hear me.
No, he can't.
Okay, anyway, since I don't have much of an update, why don't we just, like, get into this and have a super short intro since we're on a race against time.
Okay, everyone. So today we're going to be talking about disinformation versus misinformation and finding legitimate information. Finding legit shit. I said the word information too much.
Legit shit.
Legit shit. So we're living in a time where at any given point on social media, you are on average about 7 clicks away from literal QAnon insanity and wealths of disinformation.
Oh my gosh, we talk about this all the time. I'm so excited to talk
all the
about
time.
This.
society in America seems to have somehow criminalized admitting being wrong and learning from new information presented. That's been called flip-flopping, or not standing by your opinion as if you have to die on the hill of every statement you've ever made. I love words, and because I do, it's easy for me to acknowledge that there's a huge difference between misinformation and disinformation. But not everyone realizes that those are two separate things. Business Insider had a great way of showing the difference. Misinformation is false or out of context information presented as fact without any intent for deception.
Okay.
Disinformation is incorrect information given as fact or taken out of context with the direct and distinct purpose to deceive, mislead, or in extreme cases, cause harm.
There's a lot of that going around recently.
There's a lot. And it's important to note here that misinformation can be just as harmful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just not, there's no like intention for it to be deceitful. Someone like genuinely believes it to be true, which.
And it's genuinely probably something that was accidentally taken out of context.
Yeah. This is the other downfall of me and my broken foot toe, is that I can't really like move to another room to record.
That's okay. Listen, Goosey just has opinions on this.
Goosey has a lot of opinions. Sometimes I think she's a QAnon supporter.
Not our Goosey girl.
Look, she lived in a take that part out, but I do think my dog is a QAnon supporter. You can leave that part in. One day when I can talk about it. Oh, the dogs next door are outside. Okay, this is gonna be happening for a little bit.
I mean, that's always why Chalupa barks during our recordings.
I just heard them. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Goose is a QAnon supporter. She's pretty out there. She comes from a weird part of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most relevant examples of a disinformation campaign is Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election with help from Facebook ads, pages, and private groups. This is a quote from the Business Insider article. Should have said that up front. Russian actors targeted specific geographic regions and swing states to spread propaganda against Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton and sow division among Americans. Unsubstantiated rumors, gossip, or claims of grand conspiracy can also count as pieces of disinformation.
But her emails, right?
But jeez. Those fucking emails.
But those fucking emails. Wow.
Yeah. So disinformation and misinformation can cause harm all across the spectrum. And we'll get into it. There's a great article I found online in the University of Rhode Island Alumni Magazine about the age of disinformation and the six types of fake news. And I love that this is in the Alumni Magazine because it's like very much geared toward like older people who have graduated.
Hey, boomers, remember when you told us not to believe everything you read on the internet? Yeah. Stop believing everything you read on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just boomers, but those are the people who told us, watch what we read on the internet.
That's my parents.
Yeah.
Who told us
that. That's my parents. And now a lot of people their age are the ones who are falling for some of these campaigns, because the people their age are like all over Facebook. I don't really use Facebook that much anymore, but Facebook is the main area where these campaigns are happening.
Yep. Renee Hobbs, professor of communication studies at the Harrington School of Communication and Media and an internationally recognized authority on digital and media literacy education, has cited six types of fake news: disinformation, propaganda, hoaxes, satire/parody, inaccuracies in journalism, and partisanship. That is a quote from the article that I was talking about, by the way. So this is interesting because I always thought that propaganda and disinformation were sort of the same thing. So I kind of looked into that. And a former CIA propaganda analyst, Martin Geary, says, Misinformation, to me, is falsehood, plain and simple. Disinformation, intentional falsehood. You're basically lying on purpose. Propaganda is something you have to think about its history. The word propaganda comes from the Catholic Church. Propaganda fide means the propagation of faith. And it actually is an attempt to somehow propagate an ideology in people's minds. I think nowadays, since consumerism is our main religion, it includes a lot of commercial propaganda. Mm-hmm. But it's a broader and deeper and longer term factor than disinformation, which can just be a single article. I just thought that quote was really, like, there's so much to that quote that I could unpack and talk about forever. Since consumerism is our main religion, like, okay, bro, yes.
Do you know, when you said that line, when you said, because consumerism is our main religion, I immediately thought of the Josie and the Pussycat movie.
Yes.
From when we were kids.
Oh my god, classic.
And how they, I know people always just think, oh, it's just a movie about Josie and the Pussycats.
No.
No, it's a commentary on consumerism in America.
Absolutely. That should be a cult classic.
Yes, 100%. I fucking love that movie.
So good.
So that's what that made me think of. And that was a lot of consumeristic propaganda that they were shedding light on in that movie.
It really was. So yeah, propaganda has a larger context, whereas disinformation is just like, it could literally just be a tweet with a picture. It is so easy to spread disinformation, especially with social media. Some examples of active disinformation right now. Just want to lay out a few, especially, you know, we'll just talk about it as they come up. Guys, this is not our typical level of podcast. I'm so sorry. I'm so out of it. Can't wait to listen to this one. I don't even remember writing these notes. So.
You're doing your best, Katie. You're doing your best.
I'm trying my hardest. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee's final report about Russian efforts to influence the U.S. election in 2016, my brain, the panel observed numerous Russian government actors from the late 2016 until at least January 2020, consistently spreading overlapping false narratives, which sought to discredit investigations into Russian interference in the 2016 elections and spread false information about the events of 2016.
Yeah, that did happen.
Yeah, which honestly sounds made up.
It sounds like you want it to be a conspiracy theory, but yeah, it actually fucking happened because, like, Putin is actually that crazy, as we have are seen. Seeing today, yesterday, yeah, from now on.
I mean, psycho. He is literally full of disinformation. The narrative that he is pushing is a perfect example of disinformation.
Oh, yeah.
And a war is, he's at war.
This is part, this, the disinformation and misinformation campaigns that he was a part of in this country for our election was all a part of his, just another step in his plan to get back into the power that he wants to be in. I mean, it's clear as day if you're following along with historical events leading up to now.
Yeah. So this is a quote from the New York Times. In May, several French and German social media influencers received a strange proposal. A London-based public relations agency wanted to pay them to promote messages on behalf of a client. A polished 3-page document detailed what to say and on which platforms to say it, but it asked influencers to push not beauty products or vacation packages, as is typical, but falsehoods tarring Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine. Stranger still, the agency, FASE, claimed a London address where there is no evidence of any such company exists.
What?
Some recipients posted screenshots of the offer. Exposed, FASE scrubbed its social media accounts. That same week, Brazilian and Indian influencers posted videos echoing FASE's script to hundreds of thousands of viewers.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Dude, that is insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that the first group of people was like, nah, this is bullshit. And then the second group of people was like, sure, we'll do it.
I don't even know if it was necessarily the second group of people. They were probably all sent that at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just that these people were like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then these other people were like, yeah, okay, I'll take this money.
Yeah.
Like, I need bag. Yeah. Which, like, you know, some people really rely on that stuff. And with everything that's been going on in Brazil, I understand.
Speaking of Brazil, I just had something crazy happen.
Oh, shit.
I feel like because it's past now, maybe I can, like, talk about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can I mention it?
I think so.
This is fucking nuts. So, was it last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was last week. Okay. Last week, Katie and I had finished... Dude, we had just finished recording our last episode. And I checked my phone. We were still on FaceTime with one another. I checked my phone. And I had a notification on Facebook from a name that I didn't know. And it was a threat against the high school in my town, which is 4-5 blocks from me. And I called the sheriff, I called the local police, and I had to talk to them. I had to file a report. I have heard back that the account, the Facebook account, originated from Brazil, and that there was a similar one in Newark around the same time. How crazy is that?
It's super weird. I still think there's a possibility that it was like a VPN.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's just so random for someone in Brazil to be threatening schools in New Jersey.
Yeah. And I don't want to say, like, what the content was. I have screenshots of it, but, like, I removed it from my page. And after the cops had checked everything out, I removed it. It was on a post that I had shared where I tagged my town so it became public. And it was about my primary numbers. And then to get that, that was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But it turned, you know, they checked everything out and there was no actual threat to the school. And it's like, how scary is this purposeful misinformation and threats that are being put out online by faceless accounts? Who was controlling this? It's insane.
I mean, at that point, it feels like there is a purposeful falsehood to spread fear. That's disinformation straight up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna lie, and Katie knows, I was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
It was just a really surreal experience, and I was like shaking.
Yeah. It's really scary.
Yeah.
So, similar campaigns to the one that I talked about before have been found recently promoting India's ruling party, Egyptian foreign policy, and political figures in Bolivia and Venezuela.
Okay.
There's also just like an entire page on the FBI's website dedicated to Russian disinformation narratives. So
we can post that.
Yeah,
we can get a screenshot of that. Yeah. Because I bet that's wild.
It really is. NPR covered a study about a Russian disinformation campaign that went on for like 6 years, and it was essentially unnoticed. The operation, named Secondary Infection by researchers, has sought to spread pro-Russian propaganda around the globe by sharing fake tweets from U.S. elected officials and conspiracy theories about the coronavirus.
Oy, oy, oy.
Which I do want to say that has like such that has an impact in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
When you tweet things like false things from an elected official, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, the other side is going to take that and run with it and create mm-hmm. false narratives off that. And then once it's proved to be, it just creates a super, it's super messy.
It's not good for anyone.
No, it's really not. It doesn't help anyone. Ben Nimmo, director of investigations at Graphica, the research firm that conducted the study, said in an interview that the specific culprit within Russia remains elusive. We don't know whether it was run by the government or associated with the government or a group of people who wanted to support the government, Nimmo said. But overall, the tone and context makes it clear that this was an operation which was trying to support the Russian government and attack and undermine its critics.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Like, that's so scary.
It's so scary. I mean, I feel like we know who it is, but...
Yeah. But they can't prove it, and they probably just didn't want to say that, like, you know, they're not trying to start shit without proof.
They're like, we don't need that headache.
Yeah, we don't need to. They're like, we'll wait until we have concrete evidence. And as I was saying before, like, I do just, like, I included this in here, and I'm so glad I did, because this doesn't necessarily come up on its own, but it's not just the right that spreads disinformation. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And also, low-key, CNN is, like, basically the Fox News of the left. So, like, keep that in mind.
You're not wrong.
Like, all of these things need to be kept in mind, because when you're getting information, don't just get information that confirms you your right. Bias. Yeah, you can't do that. And we get into, like, how to spot disinformation. We've got some stuff. And I'll be honest, y'all, we are, like, coming up on the end of my notes. This is not going to be a long episode. I promise our next episodes are going to be much longer. They're going to be a deep dive. I will be in a much better headspace. But, like, this has been a rough week for us both. Neither of us necessarily have a ton of time. Ashley does not really have the time for, like, editing a long ass episode, so, like,
not this week. But we still wanted to, you know,
we got it, we had to give you something, and this seemed important. So April of this year, 2022, the disinformation governance board was announced. And 3 weeks after, it was paused and is basically dead in its tracks. Now, my first reaction was exactly Ashley's face right now. It's like, what? Why?
My eyes are, like, bugging out of my face.
So here is a quote from Forbes, a couple of quotes from Forbes that kind of explain why. One, the name itself suggests illegal government activity that the American people would never tolerate, regardless of their partisan affiliation. Legally, it is rarely permissible for the U.S. government to be the arbiter of truth. The name suggested it would do just that. Despite DHS's official protests that it was designed to protect free speech. So that is a really, that's true. It does... We don't necessarily want to have a group of people in the government deciding what is and isn't true. That's fair. When
point.
I read that, I was like, oh yeah. Yeah. It's bad. It's pretty bad.
I wish, Katie, oh my god. Well, listen, we are not video recording this episode, but I really wish that people could see the way... Like, your demeanor.
It's really bad. It's bad.
The faces you're making. You're very animated, and it's funny.
Reports have also announced that partisan fights and right-wing attacks on the board's leader led to its demise. So
jeez.
That I wanted to... I had that first in my notes, but I also wanted to, I said the second one first because, like, the name is really bad and we don't want to have the U.S. It's true. The U.S. government should not be the arbiter of truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Heavily.
Here are a few nonprofits that are dedicated to trying to stop the spread of disinformation because it can have serious consequences. Truthout.org, which, by the way, is hiring writers right now. Just want everyone to know that.
Ooh.
Freepress.net, the News Literacy Project. There's a ton more. Those are just the ones I had time to like look through and be like, yeah, I support these. There's also an ex-CIA agent on TikTok who has an entire account dedicated towards combating disinformation and how to discover it. It's DisinfoGal.
Yes. And oh, I love her content. Yes. I'm so glad you told me to follow her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Humble brag. She is my friend. We're mutuals. We're mutes. I was pretty scared when I originally got followed by an ex-CIA agent. I was like, that's alarming. But I love her content. She's great. She's really cool. And here are a couple of things that she and a few other nonprofits,
Uncut Gems.
and a few other nonprofits put together. And this is really interesting. So I feel like we can actually talk about this. So pattern analysis. Okay. Monitoring a person's behavior over their actions while spreading misinformation or propaganda.
Okay.
So that... I feel like that is missing information. There must be a TikTok I have saved that links to that she talks about it. Mm. But that also reminds me of that show Lie to Me.
Oh. Yeah. That's a great show.
Yeah, why did I just have that one thing in there with absolutely no other...
No context.
I'm sure I imagined that I wouldn't be super high on painkillers. On stuff to kill pain, not painkillers.
That I is don't... an important distinction.
Do not fuck with that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. You can keep that in or take it out. I don't really know what that means. Anyway, so here are some questions to ask yourself. So...
this is going to be fantastic.
This is going to be such a good episode. Here, ask yourself these questions when you read anything. Does this give me a strong emotional response? Whether it's like fear, anger, anything like that. Social media, Facebook, all this stuff came out publicly, is created to push content that creates an emotional response in you because that continues your engagement. So even if something isn't real, it'll just say that at the bottom, but it still pushes you the information because it wants you to engage.
We know this because they just had hearings on this.
Yeah. All this information.
This is actually real. We know that this is what their algorithm is actually doing. The more discourse there is on a post, the more people are going to see it. The more people are going to engage. They want that.
Well, and the algorithm knows what pisses you off and knows what makes you engage, specifically you, each user, and will push that more towards you.
Which is so interesting when I think about the difference between, like, that and the way the TikTok algorithm works. Because for TikTok, it literally brings you the things that you are interested in, not the things that make you upset. And then... with Facebook, I see, along with things that I... Hold on, just wait. Along with things that I like, I will get, like, I had to block a Ben Shapiro post in my watch list today on Facebook. And I'm like, I don't watch anything that would suggest that that's a suggestion you should be giving me. And when it comes to TikTok, at least for my own feed, the only time I see something that I don't agree with or is just like absolutely insane or some kind of conspiracy is when someone that I follow is responding to it.
The way that the TikTok algorithm is very similar to Facebook, though, where if you comment on something that you don't agree with, it will start bringing more of that content to you. So I've had to make videos with people being like, why the fuck do I keep seeing your content, these conspiracies? And I'm like, sir, it's literally because you keep commenting on my content, so it wants you to engage.
You know, I think it's funny that you say that, because in my case, I think that's not happening for me because I don't comment on the things that I find.
Yeah, you don't engage with shit that you don't like. You just keep going.
Yeah. Or I say, like, don't show me more of this.
Yeah, which is what you're supposed to do to curate your shit. And I literally say that.
Because, like, I'm not a kind of person who's going to sit there and fight with people in a comment section online. I don't have time for that. That's bullshit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The people who do that blow my mind.
It's out of
control. Like, I'll leave a comment on something that I find enjoyable to pump up the creator, but I don't know.
No. Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
Does the post that you're reading or thing that you're watching use sensational language?
That's a good one to bring up.
Yeah, clickbait titles. Mm-hmm. Is this a credible source? Which, that should be number one, honestly. Who created the content and who shared this content? So sometimes it's important not to just see who made this and what's up with that person, but, like, look around the room at the people who are agreeing with this content and enjoying it. And if you suddenly see yourselves surrounded by white supremacists and Nazis, there's a chance that you need to pause.
Maybe not get yourself wrapped up into that.
Yeah, and figure out why that is, how you got here, and, you know, deconstruct some of the stuff that brought you to this location. Mm-hmm. Because it's really easy to get, from how to meditate with crystals to
anti-vax.
anti-vax to pedophiles at the pizza place. And I know it seems like a crazy jump. But it's really not. It happens really quickly. And at some point when I have the emotional energy after the topic I'm doing, after the next topic, I'm going to do a QAnon episode.
That's going to be crazy.
Yes. When and where was this content created? So, you know, if this content was created in, like, the 1980s in Russia, or just in Russia in general, by the Russian government, maybe don't listen to that. But in more serious notes, if this, you know, if you trace back some medical information that you find to, like, a study that's not real, or just to a meme, if that's the original source of it, like, that's not credible. I was doing research for the next topic about, so can I say what we're talking about next?
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about AI next. And I was told in college by one of my professors that there was an AI that was programmed to love. Mm-hmm. And that this AI held an intern hostage in a hug for hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's not real.
What?
Yeah, so I traced it back on the internet because I was going to use that as a source because, you know, my fucking professor told me about it. It's not real.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That means that he just saw that and didn't check.
My professor in college.
That's terrifying.
I just took what my, and it wasn't as a part of a lesson. We were in a philosophy class and somehow that topic came up. Yeah, yeah, but, like, you know, that people spread misinformation.
People do shit posting like that all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
So it's really important to...
There's even the example of there was some made-up meme thing that went around Facebook when the vaccine first came out saying that the Pfizer vaccine was gonna make women have issues with getting pregnant and having babies and stuff.
Oh, that was the thing that I was talking about before. That's what they were told to say.
Yeah. Okay, so what did I do? I read the Pfizer study. It's like 160 plus pages. I did this because I wanted to find out for myself because I like to learn. And you know what I found out? The only person who had an issue during the study, it was a woman who had a miscarriage. She had the placebo. She didn't even get the vaccine. And women just... miscarriages are actually quite common. So I'm like, okay, somebody decided to take the information that was in this, twist it out of context, make a meme out of it, post it on the internet so that people would believe that, knowing full well that probably the average American is not going to take the time to double check that information by reading a 160 plus page study.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how easy it is for wrong information to be put out there for the masses to consume.
Yeah, it's so easy. So here are some key phrases when reading or watching content that should cause you to pause. Cause a pause.
Cause a pause.
One, let that sink in. People usually use that for dramatic effect. I know I have used that for a little while. That is an example.
I can think of multiple news primetime hosts that say that phrase.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson.
That's exactly who came to mind.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, but that's an example of sensational language. That's being used to evoke an emotional response from you. Mm-hmm. Next one. The media won't report this. Not only
are we just taking this from his show? Because...
No, this is from... actually, this is from a nonprofit.
I mean, they're not wrong. They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. Make this go viral.
Well, okay. All right.
Do your own research. And there are no coincidences.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Which those are commonly used phrases. Like, not mm-hmm. to, like, undermine how common those are. But it's important to understand the reason why these are bad. The media won't report this creates an idea that, like, you are fighting against a large silencer. Mm-hmm. It creates mm-hmm. a sense of community around people, and it mm-hmm. really, like, adds an importance to the false information you're giving.
Yep.
Make this go viral kind of does the same thing. It's like a call to action, really. Mm-hmm. Do your own research is a QAnon fucking trope. Like, everyone in QAnon says that all the time.
And it's like, I'm sorry, but... And we say this to each other, we're like, we need to do our research for our next episode or whatever, but we're not actually doing research. We are just reading the research of other people. But we have to know how to find the appropriate information.
Credible sources, yeah.
Yes. So when people get out there like, oh, I did my own research, you didn't actually. Because are you finding this from a credible source? Most of the time, no. You're not researching anything.
Yeah.
You need to take the time to learn how to credibly find information. And then you can read peer-reviewed studies and things like that for yourself. You are learning. You are not researching.
Absolutely. When it comes to the idea that there are no coincidences, that's just inherently untrue. And it always makes me think of the idea of the computer-generated random versus a human-generated random pattern. Like, if you ask a computer to draw dots, it's going to look in a random fashion. It's going to look very different from if you ask a human to do it. Because inherently, randomness will include things that a human's brain won't define as random. It's not going to put two dots next to each other, because that doesn't look random. It's not going to put two dots in such a way that might make a shape, because that's not random. But in actuality, true randomness is going to include those things, because statistically speaking, those things are going to just happen at some point. If something happens enough times, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We will always find patterns. There will always be coincidence. And those are my retelling of the notes I did on disinformation while on painkillers for a broken bone.
I have something that I want to add that I thought about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago.
Oh yeah, do your thing, dude.
recently I found this out and I shared it with you. I learned that Google Scholar is a thing.
Oh, yes.
And if you don't know what Google Scholar is, I'm going to read you their about section. Google Scholar provides a simple way to broadly search for scholarly literature. From one place, you can search across many disciplines and sources, articles, theses, books, abstracts, and court opinions from academic publishers, professional societies, online repositories, universities, and other websites. Google Scholar helps you find relevant work across the world of scholarly research. And I thought that that was dope as fuck. And now that's what I'm going to use for the majority of our notes for the learning that I'm going to help spread to other people.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And they do have here, it says, how are the documents ranked? Google Scholar aims to rank documents the way researchers do, weighing the full text of each document, where it was published, who it was written by, and as well as how often and how recently it has been cited in other scholarly literature, which definitely brings it back to some of the things that you had brought up earlier.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. I love this. This is really cool. I'm very excited to use this.
You too. It's awesome.
Episodes. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to bring up, because now you have a way, like if you're interested in learning about something or you have questions about something, you can use that to find actual, like, professionally published articles and court cases and legal documents. Now you know. The more you know.
Yeah. Credible stuff is out there. You just need to find it and double check that it's credible. It doesn't take that much time. Wow. So,
thank you so much, Katie.
Disinformation.
Thank you for bringing this to us, even though it's been a rough time.
Of course. Of course.
All right, guys. We hope that you enjoyed this.
Yes.
Wish Katie well online, please.
Thank you.
This shit was crazy.
Nuts.
We appreciate you for listening to this semi-off-the-cuff episode.
Yeah. While I wrote these notes, we definitely all learned that together.
Yep. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2K Podcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2K Podcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2K Podcast. Or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thank you for listening.